You're listening to Good on Paper, a bookish podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rachel.
Join us as we journey together into the land of fiction, where the men are brave, the quests are epic, and everything is better on paper. Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys.
So today on the show, we have Bethany. You might know her as Bethany, the bookworm girl. And we are so excited because Bethany is our first, like, I think, serious bookstagrammer that we've had on the show. So we're really excited just to really talk all things books with her, because everybody loves books, you know, whether you're a writer, whether you're a reader, whether you're both. I mean, I don't think it's really, you can really be a writer without being a reader. So I just think books are fun because they're just so fun and universal. And yeah, so Bethany, you're a bookstagrammer, but is there anything else that we should know about you?
That's a great question. I guess I could say I'm a college student. I'm studying communications, mm-hmm. So it does kind of fit in with the bookstagram world, like content creation, social media, writing. But other than that, I'm a small town girl. I'm a Christian. That's about it. Those are the basics.
That's really fun. Okay, so everyone right now, I feel like I can't talk today, and I just, before we get too deep into this conversation, I just want to put it out there that I was, like, doing a series outline last night, and I don't know about you, but series outlines are really difficult for me, and they generally take, like, 6 hours, so I was up until 1:30,
Well, I noticed you sent all the questions to the chat, and it was, like, 12:45 a.m., I was like, wow. She is up really late.
I don't know. So when I was doing that introduction, I feel so bad because I kept just saying the same thing over and over again. I'm like, maybe you should stop saying fun. Maybe you should stop saying really. But I just couldn't stop myself. I'm almost sleep deprived. So just so everybody's aware.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like this makes sense because last week you had stayed up the night before all night and were like slap happy the next day, and now you're really tired. So
I got 3 hours of sleep, and it ended up being worse than the last time we recorded, in which I got none and I was feeling a lot better. You know, when you sleep a little bit sometimes, it's worse.
So you only slept 3 hours last night. That's impressive.
I think so.
That's impressive. I'm someone who sleep like all the time. Like I have to take naps. I have to sleep like 8-9 hours. So that's, I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I normally have two too. I do not function well on 3 hours.
But that's what coffee's for, right?
Yeah. And I did have some tea today. So you guys are in for a ride. That's all I'm going to say to all our listeners, Bethany, Rachel, like, I don't know what I'm going to say.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
No judgment. I didn't sleep well either, so we're all gonna suffer.
Yeah, and I'm sure Bethany, with you being a college student, I mean, how is that? Like, do you have a hard time fitting everything in, you know?
Well, I'm an online college student, so I'm at home, so I would say, like, I have more time, but when the school semesters hit, with content creation, sometimes I do it in batches because it's just too busy for me to constantly, like, if you notice, if I'm wearing the same shirt in this next reel, that's why, because I made it in a batch. So yeah, that's normally what I do during the school year. And then, like, before I start, like, I start classes August 21st. So before that, I'll probably make some batch content, have it saved and ready to roll before I go, before I start. So yeah.
Yeah, Rachel and I are thinking about starting to do batch stuff for the podcast, because our method before, it worked great when I had, like, my own room that I could close the door and I had my cute little bookshelf, but, like, now I'm, like, always on the go and all this stuff, so we're like, you know what, we might need to shift into something a little different. I enjoy batch creating. That's what I do on my main Instagram page, and I really like it because, like I said, everything's on my phone, so if I'm on the road, I have like a whole treasure box to pull from, and I can just be making stuff, and so different times of your life, it might be better to batch create, but there's definitely something to be said for the sporadic stuff too.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, yeah, it's just really helpful. Like you said, if you're in the car and you can just get on your phone, like I posted them, you know, when I'm out shopping or at the grocery store and I just need to pull quickly. Because I'm like, oh, I forgot to post today, so I have time. And yeah, it really is just effortless, I think, once you do that, like make it in advance.
Yeah, I'm trying to batch create for August right now. And I'm like, I know I'll be thankful once I start using them, but to create them all at once, I'm like,
yeah, oh
goodness, yeah, I really don't want to do this, but
yeah,
worth the energy.
Yeah, I know. For me, I love creating content, so it's not really like work. But then the problem is, like, if it's a reel where the sound isn't working, or like sometimes my videos will like cut weird, and like I can see it skips. So I have to just keep refilming it until it works, or Instagram won't save my text. It does that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I swear, yesterday I was so irritated. I posted a reel and the text moved after I had posted it. I honestly was like, am I going blind or am I losing my mind? Because I swear it moved and then it moved back. So I don't know. Maybe I just, I don't know. Maybe I needed to drink more water or something. I don't know.
No, I feel like it does that sometimes because you know how you can, you know how the Reels covers are like this big, but on your grid, it shows like this part. And you know how you can like move it around? Well, so I'll like set it to where I want the picture. And then sometimes I'll go and refresh my feed and it's not on that setting. But if I like go back and refresh it again, it literally, when you crop it, it will move it around, which I don't know how it does that. I don't understand how technology works. But yeah, it definitely does weird things like that sometimes. So I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen like all these people on Bookstagram posting like, does this happen to you? Does this happen to you? I'm like, they just need to fix the Instagram, how it works, because people are trying to create content in it all the time. And yeah, just that's my Bookstagrammer rant for you.
I feel like a lot of people will identify with that.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, especially I feel like for authors who are trying to market books. I'm sure you guys understand, like, it's very frustrating.
And the worst part is, like, if you try and make a video in a more reliable thing like Canva and then post it, a lot of times like that runs into its own issues. And I've heard, and I kind of suspect this, that, you know, if you use text from, or like edit your video outside, like Instagram knows like you have text in it because it can read it, you know, so it can still like shadow ban you if you say anything bad. It can read it and it knows that you didn't use their text thing, and it just doesn't boost you as high. So it's like, okay, if you want us to use your editing, like make it better.
I know, exactly. And the thing that drives me nuts is when I'm trying to do, like I said before, about it'll not save my text. So I have to do like three or four times of typing it in the reel, especially like I know for, I did a like a quote reel where I'm holding Rachel's book, The Grinch Next Door. And it irritated me because it takes it away. So then I have to keep retyping it. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to do this.
Yeah. That's why every time I get done with something complicated like text, I save it to my phone. And then if it posts incorrectly, I just upload like the actual completed one. And I'm like, I don't care. Oh, I'm not doing this again. So I just save it. Like after I've done the text, I save the video. And then if it posts wrong, I can just repost it with the stuff on it. So because I hate having, the worst is having to go back in, especially if you use a lot of text and have to redo it all, or you don't remember what you said.
You're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yes. I totally. And I'm here. I'm just nitpicking now. I don't really like when you're trying to edit the videos, like the bar, like when you go to move like the text and like position it where you want it in the reel to like disappear or reappear. Those bars are really hard to move because it doesn't show you the page. You have to like scroll, stop. Anyway, that was my whole content creator rant for you guys.
Yes. We love the rants. We are all about rants on this show. I feel like
we do it a lot. Yeah.
Good. I'll fit in.
It's true. So with being, you know, a full-time college student and the content creation. And we've already kind of touched on how content creation is its own kind of beast, but you are also a personal assistant for an author. So like, what is that like?
Yeah. So, I'm just going to say this for the listeners. I am a personal assistant for Anna Conwell, who wrote the Sweet Peach series. It's a clean rom-com series. And then she actually has a release coming out on August 24th, which is called But He's My Grumpy Neighbor. I'm so bad with titles. but yeah, so that's busy too. And I actually haven't done a full schedule with that and school on top of it and then content creation on the side. So we'll see, but I don't really do too much. I would say I do a couple hours a week for her. So I'm hoping that that'll be like my, what I like to call like a brain break for like between studying. And that'll be something I can just be like, oh, I'll just go make a TikTok, because it's just, for me, it's just, I don't know, it appeases my creative soul. And I really just, I love it. So yeah, it's really, really, oh yeah. It's weird because I started working for her and I said to my mom, I was like, Mom, this could be my 9 to 5 every day and I wouldn't get tired of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love it so much. And yeah, it's really been a job that I guess it's just brought out a lot of self-discovery in what I want to do long-term. So it's really been great, not only working for her, but then also figuring out what I want to do long-term.
That's so fun. So do you, like, are you mostly doing, like, the social media? Do you help with other things like emails? Like, what do your duties entail for that?
That's a great question. So think about it all, because I do think it all kind of blurs
kind of random.
So I do mainly like a lot of her TikToks, which if you guys have TikTok, I don't know if you do or not, but you can like see where she, like, she'll do some things like with her face, so that way she's mm-hmm. getting that personal presence. And then I'll do a lot of the, like, it's just sometimes I'll do like an aesthetic reel like I do for a book, where like it's multiple images. Sometimes it'll just be one aesthetic picture, and then I'll take text and just do a quote. Like Rachel does that for her books. So that's what I do a lot. Like, that's every day pretty much. I have to post like 2 TikToks a day and then keep up with that. And then I also do some Instagram reels, some of her stuff. Like, a lot of her like aesthetic ones are made by me. But then she also does some of her own just to have her own touch on it. And then trying to think of what else I do. I do a lot of her, like, if you guys are in her Facebook group, I do her Facebook games, like her trivia questions, her like would you rather questions. I do all of those, which I do it in Canvas. That's really fun. I really like that. It's a workout for my brain, because I have to constantly be thinking of new things and new questions to mm-hmm. ask. And I really like it. It's fun, but then it's also like, now what? I ask all these questions and I'm running out of ideas in my brain. So it's a lot of brainstorming too. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, and then I do quite a few things with her ARC team. So like, I'll send emails out for her ARC team. I also do a lot of stuff with her buddy reads that we do, like, I know it's Bailey at Bailey's Bookshelf, Catherine, I have to remember everybody's usernames, at Adventures in Paper, and then Anna and I, like, assemble a buddy read for each new release. So if that's something you guys are interested in, it's really fun. It's super, super fun. And just, it's like this, it's very chatty. We talk about the book. We talk about, like, the last book had a lot of tea references. So we talked about a lot of tea things in our chat. It's really fun. So then, like, I'll assemble, like, it's a lot of like Google Forms with this job. I'm so used to doing Google Forms because we have to take like all these emails and input them into a document. So I have them saved when I need to send out a mass email. And I also do that for her ARC form as well. That was her, she recently opened up her ARC signups. And so I had to go through, like, I think it was 80 people who were interested in being on her ARC team. So that was a workout. That was, wow. I like it, but it was a lot because you have to, mm-hmm. like I made a list of her, like who I thought possible candidates were. And then like, do like basically like a characteristic reference of like why this person would be a good fit. So then she can look over it. And yeah. And then I also do newsletter swaps too.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's what I was wondering, if you helped out with the newsletter part, because I know a lot of authors have people who help them with their newsletters too.
Yeah. So. Originally I didn't like that task at all. Like, not that I'm not a complainer, but it was just really a lot to learn. But now I love it. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to do. I really enjoy that one as well because you're connecting with authors and I don't know, it's just like really fun, busy work. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I realize I actually do. I really like it though. It's so much fun. And yeah. It seems like a lot, but if I work on it in steps, it's really not a lot. So yeah. And the swaps, I would say that's probably my favorite task, but I really like all of it. And it was a lot of like adjusting to learning new things. And now I know things that I want to apply when I write my own books and self-publish them and all that stuff. So it's really been a great learning experience.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Has that made you like more affirmed that you're on the right career path as far as communications?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's weird because I knew the first day of my first communications class that it was the right thing. Like, I just automatically was like, okay, this is it. Because I had tried, oh my gosh, I tried English, I tried Spanish, I tried criminal justice, I'm trying to think of creative writing. I tried like all this stuff and it just didn't feel like I enjoyed it, but I just didn't feel like it was the right thing for me. And then I tried communications and like it's weird how I don't know, God works and he's just like reaffirming that this is the right thing, because sometimes I'm like, am I doing the right major, is this really right? And then you know I'm doing this job for Anna and it's like this is 100% what I want to do. Yeah, that's a great question. I really like that.
That's a good answer too. I mean, that's the best answer to have, that you really enjoy it, because like as I'm listening to you talk about all the things you do for Anna, I'm like, those are all the things I hate doing.
You're all in here. I love it. Oh my gosh. But it is how our brains are designed. I think that's the cool thing, because you know, you might do something that I'm like, oh my gosh. I like, you do your graphic design, a lot of that, like your character art, you've done stuff and I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Like that is just not for me. But it's weird how our brains are designed in that way, that we all just kind of have our different likes and dislikes.
Yeah. No, because as you were talking, I was like, man, I kind of want this job. I mean, I'm already so busy doing it for my own self. But I'm like, I would love to be an author assistant, because I love doing all that stuff. Like, I would happily, if somebody wants to pay me to do their social media for them, I'd be all over that. But, and that's like, because Rachel and I have found out that we are so different, even though we're both writers. Yeah. Like, we're just so different in that way, you know?
Yeah. And I realized doing Facebook swaps how many authors that have personal assistants. Because when I started, I was like, why are all these people's names not the same as their, like, author name? Because on Facebook, they have their username, and they weren't matching with their actual author name. And then I like, it clicked in my brain. I was like, oh, I'm communicating with all these personal assistants. So it is a big thing. And I didn't even realize it. You know, I thought, well, Anna just needs extra help. Like, not that I'm like putting her down in any way, not at all. I just didn't even realize that it was a thing. And, and it just opened my eyes to like, wow, this could be like a full-time job for me. If I get, if I get 5 or 6 authors that need my services, like, and I think there's a couple on Facebook that do have multiple, like, big name authors that they work for. And they have, like, in there, it's one woman I'm thinking of, and she has, like, author services by such and such, whatever her name is. And it's really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would love to have an author assistant. Please take over. In my defense, I like doing those things you're talking about. I don't like doing them for myself. It feels much more stressful for my own business versus when I'm doing it as a task for somebody else. Yeah.
Yes, I totally see what you're saying, and I would be the same way. 100% the same way. Yeah, Rachel and I, when we became friends, we figured out how similar we are, and it's actually weird. I think we're probably related in some, like, I don't know. I'm convinced at this point we're related.
I agree. I'm like, there's got to be a connection in the bloodline somewhere.
Oh, my word. The similarities, like, down to, like, I don't even know what we've talked about. Like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't know. It's just been so, it's weird, but it's like a good kind of weird.
Yeah. It's like every time we talk and I bring up something else, mm-hmm. you're like, no, me too. And I'm like, wow, I thought I'd found something we don't have in common. But I thought.
We thought we were so unique.
It's a good problem to have.
And then we met each other and we realized we're not. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so one thing I was thinking of that I was curious about is, so I noticed, like, I kind of gleaned that authors had personal assistants from, like, reading a bunch of author newsletters. Because I'm always signing up for newsletters to get everybody's free novella. I mean, let's put that out there. So I read so many author newsletters, and I noticed it with mostly authors of romance who really publish quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if, and I just thought maybe, like, it's more common for romance authors of, like, that kind of type to have personal assistants. But since you've worked with so many of them, would you know whether, you know, fantasy authors tend to have personal assistants too? Is it, like, every genre, or does it tend to be more the romance genre that has personal assistants?
That's a really good question. I actually don't know the answer because the Facebook groups I'm involved in are only either it's romance or rom-coms. I'm in two, yeah. I think it's three. So they're only those specific genres, but I would think they probably do, but I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, because I know that rom-coms and romance authors tend to release more rapidly than mm-hmm. fantasy. Mm-hmm. I mean, some, there are a lot of fantasy authors like Rachel who really have like a really rapid publishing schedule, but there's mm-hmm. also other fantasy authors who write kind of more, I don't know, maybe they write longer fantasies or whatever they do, and they tend to like wait a long time between each book. So, I mean, I can imagine if you're doing that, maybe doing the marketing is easier, but I can't imagine. I mean, you have four books coming out a year, like,
yeah,
you know, like that doesn't leave you a lot of time to do marketing. It just really doesn't. So,
especially if you're a big name author, like immediately when you brought that up, I thought of, I haven't read any of her stuff. Victoria Aveyard, if I'm saying that right, but like she's a big name fantasy author. And sometimes her reels will come up on my like algorithm, in my algorithm on Instagram. And yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. That's a very good question. I'm going to have to ask Anna that and see if she knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I was watching KM Shea. I don't know if you guys have ever read any of her books. I don't think either one of you have yet. Have you?
No.
Okay.
No. Anna respects her, and I hear about it from you and Anna.
I love her so much. But she
just, pressure's real.
I'm trying to convert everybody. She had a like weekend like panel thing on her Discord channel where she had different speakers and different games and stuff. And I know that she has like a full team, like somebody runs her Discord channel, somebody runs her Facebook group, somebody runs her emails. So she just kind of has to like pop in here and there as she wants to. But she doesn't have to do all of it herself. She does, though, publish one rapid release series every year, though, a trilogy. So I'd imagine she's fairly busy. She doesn't. The interesting thing I find about her, though, is she doesn't do social media. She doesn't do TikTok. She doesn't do Instagram.
Mm-hmm. You mean she doesn't?
But she's very, very successful.
She doesn't do it at all for marketing?
No.
Wow.
She hasn't posted since 2022. And even when she did post, it was very sporadic and more like personal pictures. It wasn't like marketing reels or anything. And I'm like,
gosh, that's okay. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So then like, so she has Facebook and then what did you say? Discord. And then like, is that how she markets? That's amazing.
Yeah. And yeah. And she has a newsletter, but that's it. Like,
wow. That just blew my mind. I can't even comprehend that.
I know. Me too. I'm
used to the marketing world on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that's, you do it. Wow. I did not know that. That is really interesting.
Yeah. Wow. And she has like, I think 7,000 reviews on her latest book, which came out in like February.
That's insane.
And I'm like, okay.
And now I'm going to be researching her. Like, how do you do this? This is really fascinating. Well, how many newsletter subscribers she's had or has? Because sometimes like it'll say, like in Facebook, the author sometimes advertise it.
I don't know. I haven't checked. I haven't paid any attention to it. That's but
when did she start publishing? Like, how long has she been writing for?
I looked the other day, and her first book came out in 2013. So this is 10 years now.
Okay, then that makes sense, because if not everybody who writes for that long can do this, but if you have been writing and you've built up enough of a reader base,
true,
you know, because like she's everybody well, knows she also, like her name, like you know,
yeah,
she's almost like a traditionally published author.
She said something really interesting in one of her panels at the Discord thing. Mm-hmm. Where when she thinks about like what books she's going to write next, she's always paying a lot of attention to how people received the last book to figure out what they liked, mm-hmm. what they didn't like, what kind of tropes they're interested in, what kind of stories they want to hear. And then she keeps doing more of it. And so she keeps like pivoting to make sure she's following readers. I'm like, that's actually really smart. I never thought about that.
So does that mean she reads all 7,000 of her reviews?
She probably has somebody who does it for her.
That does that for her.
Yeah. I'm just like, that's a lot of reviews to read.
Yeah. My gosh. Wow, that just blew my mind. Yeah. Wow, I just can't even imagine not marketing on social media, but I guess that's the age we live in and the age group I'm in, because I'll explain stuff to my parents that I have to do for Anna, and they don't even understand, because it's that, like, they call it like generation gap, where it's so different to them and so foreign, because they're just used to marketing like on TV or on like the radio, and that's just a thing of the past. Yeah. That's wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, go Sherry. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, and I noticed a lot of authors who publish with like publishing houses, whether it's like the smaller ones or like the bigger ones, a lot of times, I mean, they have Instagram page, but they don't necessarily post on every day, and it more tends to be just like kind of like more personal life updates, every so often like a big announcement of a book, and like that works because their books are in every bookstore,
right?
Their books are at the library, so I think, you know, when you have a big name through indie publishing, which is more rare, but like some people, like, I mean, Kim Shea pulled it off, like she did that, or if like you're published with like a traditional publishing house, it's probably not like as important to have as much marketing. But when you're just like random indie author out of millions, well, there's probably not millions, probably more thousands, maybe hundreds. I would say thousands, right? Mm-hmm. Probably in the thousands, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to like, you got to get out there somehow and, you know.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah. I think people underestimate the value of time. Like just having time under you and like books under your belt, you know, I think everyone thinks that Instagram or TikTok will make you like immediately famous, and it happens for some, but very rarely. Most of the time it's a combination of a lot of different things, including just time and experience to get you there.
Yeah.
Which nobody wants to hear, because I would like for it to happen immediately, please.
Instant gratification. Yeah.
Because once you have 20 books under your belt, you know, and as long as they're well written and people like them, I mean, the money you make on just like the backlog of stuff that, you know, so it really is like kind of a time game.
Yeah.
If you're not going to like try and blow up on social media, which is also a valid path, but then again, that is going to take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have unlimited time. So you can either try and write as many books as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can try and like write one book and spend most of your time like trying to blow up on social media. You know, you just got to choose.
See, and this is why I love our friendship and this podcast, because we have such different ways of doing things that it's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun to see the different sides.
Yeah, Bethany, I don't know if you can guess which end of the spectrum Rachel and I are on here, but
I know it's, that's a really good, I never even thought about it that way. Like, you do have to choose. You really do have to choose where you're going to go with writing. And and I wonder if, like you said, you were saying about like, if it's with a traditional publisher, your books are like out there in the library or at the bookstore. Like, I wonder if marketing, unless you're like a, like, if you're, I said Sherry L. Tapscott, but I meant KM Shea earlier, and they kind of mixed together in my brain. But I wonder if you're a big name author like that, if you don't, like, I'm saying, like, if you're an indie author and you're trying to get your name out there, if the social media route is the best way to go, Because, like, how else are you going to do it? I mean, there's not really another option besides those of what you're handed. So, it's interesting. It's really interesting. Yeah. Does that answer your question? I feel like maybe I didn't answer it quite, like, about what you were saying about you and Rachel.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely more because I enjoy doing social media, so I spend less time writing than Rachel, and I spend more time on social media. And I plan to release, you know, a book a year, like more slow releases. And Rachel enjoys writing more than social media, so she does rapid release and less social media, which
I
I've
totally see
seen
that,
both
yeah.
ways like totally take off. Like I know, you know, authors, mostly people I know from their newsletter, because I don't know them from Instagram so much because they're not like, you know, as active on there or they don't have as many followers, but I know they have a crazy readership because I get their newsletters and they're releasing books and they've got fans. And then because of Kindle Unlimited, I feel like that's a way to really build up a readership. You know, so that's it's like such a valid path, but I think it depends on like what you enjoy doing more, because I know for me it's just like I need time for my stories. Like I need like marinating time, so it just ends up working out better for me because they can marinate as I'm mostly doing social media, and like that's fine.
And I think that's the really cool thing about social media, in my opinion, is everybody has their own way of doing it, and it's not wrong. Because, you know, one person can, like you said, like focus on the social media aspect or more on the writing. And I think, yeah, that's what I like about it, is because everybody has their own approach. Even within like just being a bookstagrammer, everybody has a different flair to their content. And yeah, that's a really great.
I'm curious, where do you think you fall on the spectrum as far as like how you would approach your writing career?
Probably Jenny. Probably Jenny is a little.
I can see that.
I would say, I mean, that's a good question. I think I would probably be somewhere in the middle of that because, that's a really good question. And now I have to think about that. I would say, yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle of that. Like, I think I would probably maybe do like 75% writing, 25% social media, and then once I'm done with the book, give it more promo. That's probably how I would, maybe. And like while I'm editing, do the content, like on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. I don't personally have TikTok, but I'd probably focus it more on Instagram. But anyway, yeah, that's probably how I do it. Yeah, so like kind of a mix of how you guys do it. Yeah.
I
That's so
can see that.
interesting.
Yeah, and
Kind
that's
of
the
like,
nice. Oh, no, go ahead, Rachel.
No, you go. You go.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's the nice part about, because like, so mine is about to go to beta readers, and then you know it's going to go to an editor and all this stuff. So I'm going to have time where I don't have it. So that might be, I mean, knowing me, I'll probably like draft a novella or like a book two in the series or something. But if I want to take a break from writing, I can always use that time, you know, because once the first draft is written, there's a lot of like pre-release stuff you have to do. And so that might be a good time to just like really focus on the content and promoting it. So that's what's nice about. If you are going to take the long approach, you know, you can write it and then you can have like a whole year before it releases that you can like kind of hype it up. There's that option.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think for me, I'm more of a long-term writer because I am a fly by the seat of my pants. I don't use an outline. So I kind of just have to go off of like what inspires me for the next chapter. So yeah, definitely. I think it probably you outline, right, Rachel? Yeah, so I think that probably also affects the content creation process. If you're a, I can never remember the pantser and then the, what's the other term?
Plotter?
Water.
That's so
Or the
interesting.
planter. Then there's the planter, if you're like a mix of both.
I'm definitely that one. Like I have some ideas formulated, but not like an outline at all. I never use an outline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what makes me kind of nervous about doing my series, because I was always like, oh no, if I write a series, I want to like have it all written, because like, what if I publish the first book and I want to change it and blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, and then if I do that, then I can rapid release. But I guess, you know, life happens when you're making plans, and I've just been like kind of praying a lot. And I feel like what's happening is, even though, because I try and strategize things, but I feel like when I strategize, it doesn't really work. What's happening is I have this book that I wrote on Kindle Vella, which it's totally pantsed pretty much, because I was writing each episode as it came out, because I wanted to get that serial story feel where like you're getting feedback from readers, and people have different opinions on, some authors say you should never do that. Other authors said for this platform, it's best because it is a serial platform. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Which means editing it is a bit of a, you know, it's always more difficult when you've pantsed it. And then like trying to do this series outline, I want a very, 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 very loose series outline. Yeah. And I'm leaving the rest up to like pantsing it. And it's just making me nervous, because I'm like, I'm scared to release this book when I don't know what's going to happen next. But
yeah,
you know, I think as a writer, you got to take that courage. And then like doing the covers too, I'm like, I don't want to get all my covers done at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm also nervous about not doing that, because then what if something happens to the cover designer? So I think I'm just going to take a risk and still do them one by one.
Yeah.
It'll be scary, but it is what it is. You can't live life without risk.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, especially I think with, the whole social media thing, it's constantly changing, writing the way... Yeah, it's just our world is constantly changing. So, yeah, you got to take risk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I want to apologize to anybody listening, because if you can hear every time I pick up my cup, the ice is rattling. And I'm just like, I don't want to go into a dry mouth and not be able to talk.
I can't hear it.
Okay. I can't hear it at all. So it's probably fine. Yeah. No.
Okay. Hopefully it's not picking up. I know Rachel and I have done Zoom calls, and I'm always have a drink. Like constantly I'll have two or three, you know, I have a problem. I just like constantly am hydrating.
That's bless a good thing, you. Though. Thank you. So, wow, I feel like we had such a great conversation today. I mean, we really just talked and we just got into some really interesting stuff. This has been so fun.
Yes.
But I was thinking before we close out our conversation today, definitely want to ask you, do you have a few favorite books or like a few favorite genres? Because you're a bookstagrammer, we want to talk books. So like, give us some book recommendations or genres or like anything you really love. Just tell us about yourself as a reader and the kind of books you love.
Okay, that's a great question. And I need 5 hours. But no, okay, I have to think about this. As far as classics go, Anne of Green Gables, Little Women, Jane Eyre, Pride and Prejudice, To Kill a Mockingbird. Those are like my top favorite. Oh, and Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Let's see what else. It's weird because I like specific genres, but I don't always read in them. I read just anything, like anything I can get my hands on, basically. So I read like a mix of middle grade, fantasy, romance, YA. I started getting into manga. There's a girl on Bookstagram. Her username is Bookish Gila, if I'm saying Gila. I'm not sure how I say her, like, name. But yeah, she got me into this manga series, so I'm really into that. What else? Yeah, I'm trying to think. Well, Anna's books are really good. The Sweet Peach series, Legends of Avalon, is like my all-time favorite book ever. I'm not just saying that because it's Rachel. I'm saying that because it really is. Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it's my favorite ever. And I told Rachel in the beginning, I was like, I've never actually read a character who has represented me so much as Daphne represents me. She's me, like 100%. Like there is nothing, it's just, it's crazy. Like in a very good way.
That's because you and Rachel are the same person. So obviously.
Right. Yes. True. So that's like my top, like if people ask me like top five books, that's number one and then goes down from there. And then I like this series. It's called Love Finds You In. And then there's like each like a, like it'll list like the one I really like is Love Finds You In. I think Rachel and I talked about this before, actually. Love Finds You In Paradise, Pennsylvania. I just read that one recently. That one was amazing. The main guy character, he was so good. And then I just finished one yesterday that I really liked. It was a cozy Amish mystery, and it was called Hearse and Buggy, and it's like a play on words. It's cute. And really like that one. There's a love triangle, so I'm like, I need to find the next books in the series because I need to find out who she ends up with. And it was a good love triangle. It wasn't like, oh, she should just like this guy. It's like, I can see why she likes both. So, yeah.
So are you team love triangle? Because I know a lot of people hate them. I kind of like them. I wouldn't say I love them, but I really do enjoy them. So I'm curious
your thoughts. For me, it's like a good kind of annoyance. It's like one of those things where like it annoys me, but in a good way that I want to keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of draws me in because I'm like, oh, I need to know who she ends up with. Like, I love Rachel. Oh, I can't say that. That would be a spoiler. I was just about to say.
I mean, you could say it.
Okay. I can say it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have permission from the author.
Alex, like, I love Triangle. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Desmond, I want to marry him. Like, if I find a real-life Desmond, game over. I'm out. Like, but I really liked, because I can see why she liked Alex and why she liked Desmond. And I'm not saying who she ends up with. That's, you're going to have to read the series to find out because I'm not saying that. But yeah, I really, I think it depends. I guess it depends on if I like both guys or not. Like for me, if it's, she needs to go with this guy. And not the other one. Like, if it's totally obvious, then, then I'm like, no, I don't really need this in my life. But,
I agree. It has to be, believable. And I think for me, as long as, like, she doesn't get into an actual relationship with either of the ones. Like, when they're, like, breaking up and then this and that. Like, as long as it's in still, like, the dating, getting to know you stage. Like, I really like them because I feel like it's realistic. Because before you get into a relationship, you know, chances are you might be meeting different people and you're trying to figure out like who you are, what you like. So I always really enjoy love triangles, especially like Rachel's love triangles. Yeah. Like the more you were talking about Desmond and Alec, I was like, you know what? I think I would say that I do love triangles. Love triangles. Because I really love that one. I mean,
Yeah. And I think like I read one recently. I forget what the name of the book is, but it was awful. It was so bad because she was engaged to this guy, engaged to him, but then on the side, she was kissing this other guy that she liked. And I was just like, no. And the author tried to use it as a redemption arc in the end where she realized what she had done. But I just was like, by that point, I'm just so annoyed.
I couldn't
even get on with it. So, yeah, I think it really depends on how the author constructs the love triangle for me personally.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, I didn't one. Oh, no, go ahead, Rachel.
No, you're okay.
No, you go first.
I was just going to say, I think I get annoyed if they, like, yank you around and make you think, oh, it'll be this guy. No, it'll be this guy. No, it'll be this guy. And I like it best when she's very undecided and she's, like, very, like, almost neutral between the two because she's really not sure versus... You can tell she really loves this guy, but for some reason she's still flirting with this other guy, and you're like, but why? The other guy's better.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, and that, it can't... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Jenny.
It can't get too far down the road with, like, any one of them if you're going to have both still in the game. Like, that's what I didn't like about Throne of Glass. She's with the one dude, and then... Sorry, this is a huge spoiler, but... I didn't really like Throne of Glass, so I don't care that I'm spoiling it. And then she, like, right away, like... without any explanation, gets with the other dude. And granted, I haven't read the rest of the books, so there might be some reason for that. Maybe it was, like, some protection. Oh, no, weird reason. But you know what I mean? She's just, like, in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, no, this guy. And I was like, What? Like,
Yeah. That's what I liked about this hearse and buggy mystery, because she ended up, like, this is a spoiler, but it's not, that wasn't, like, the main focus of the book anyway. It was, like, who murdered who. That was the whole point. But by the end, I really liked, like, it was a healthy way that the author wrote it, because the girl, like, she's like, I could have a relationship with this person, but for right now, I just want to be friends. And then the other guy, he's, like, she can't actually date him anyway. She just liked him. And so she was like, well, I'm just going to have to forget about him. And it just was, I don't know, the way it was done, I really liked it, because it was, she was, like, setting boundaries with herself. Now, we'll see if that continues in the second book. I don't know. But, but yeah, I think it has to be done in a way that's not toxic for me to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I think what you said, like, setting boundaries, and, like, if she's in a position where she's not really dating anyway, but just has these two future potential options, like, that's the kind of love triangle I enjoy. And some people might say that's not really a love triangle. Because I think when they say they hate love triangles, they're literally thinking you're, like, deeply in love with two guys, or you're in a relationship with one and the other one is madly in love with you. And I think that's the stereotype people have. But, like, I don't enjoy that either. Like, I totally get it. Like, that's just not good.
Yeah.
I like interest triangles. Like, that's the word I kind of like to use.
Yeah.
Like when you're on, like, the interest level. That's, like, what I like.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's so realistic, especially, like, I'm single, so they're going to be constantly like, oh, I could date this guy, or I could date this guy. It's just natural. Because
it's so natural.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think you're right. It's just very, it's more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I even like it now, too.
Yeah, interest triangles. We should. We're starting this. This is a thing. Interest triangles.
Our own. And that's, we designed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like, and I don't mind if, you know, if there's, like, three guys who are, like, potential suitors, or maybe even four, and that starts to get complicated. So I wouldn't recommend that in everybody's book, but that is kind of how the series I'm writing right now. I mean, I've got, it's like a group of six friends. I think it's four girls and two boys, and then they have this other guy. So it's, like, very, like, you know, people are interested in different people at different times. But, like, nobody, like, really gets together until, like, the end of the series. So it's very, like, interest triangle, except there's more like than that, because there's, it's not a triangle. There's just too many people. It's an interest mess. I don't know.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's like, awesome. I don't know if you guys, like, when you were teenagers, but when I was a teenager, we had, like, the friend group. And it's like everybody eventually had a crush on everybody in the friend group at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just how it is when you're like a young adult. Like,
I had that. I'm trying to think. I think I had that in high school because I was homeschooled. I think you were too, Jenny, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Yeah. And so we were in, now I'm exposing myself. We were in like this co-op group, so at some point everybody liked, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I loved co-op, so much fun. I'd go back any day if I could, but I feel like at like everybody kind of, and there weren't a lot of guys, but I feel like everybody kind of like at one point I distinctly remember when I joined the group I was really interested in this one guy, and then we went to an event and I saw this other guy and I was like, forget him.
Yeah, that was me too. And there was a few like I had serious crushes on, but I just remember, you know, like pretty much any guy you meet, you're just thinking, you know, and like noticing, and I think that's just like a normal part of being a young single teenager adult. Like to me, teenager to like young adult, it's still the same, because like you're still like physically mature and like, you know, you're experiencing all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So, I think the interest triangle is a great term because it's very realistic. I experienced it myself. I really like that. I'm gonna use that now. That's awesome.
Interest triangle. Because that's really what, Rachel, your book is. It's definitely more of an interest triangle in Legends of Avalon.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I
love it. She never gets to the point of being like
genuinely super romantically interested in anybody until she's chosen which one she wants to be yes. with. Because I can't, because I guess I can't personally imagine being in that position where I can't pick which guy I actually really mm-hmm. want to be with.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine, like, I don't know either one of you very well, so I'm interested in both. But once I know you, like, mm-hmm. I'm a fairly decisive person, so I'd be just like, nope, I want you. Let's go. Like, why are we messing around?
Exactly. Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah.
I just like that you wrote your book like that, because I feel like, you know, when we're writing, we do kind of, whether consciously or not, like, give out messages. And I think it really promotes, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
taking your time and getting to know someone seriously
mm-hmm.
before, well, seriously in a casual way. Like, I think people take yeah. dating too seriously and too casually at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like, yeah. casually, like, you're friends, but, like, serious about, like, you really care about the other person, like, as friends, and you don't want to yeah. hurt them, and you don't want to move too fast. And mm-hmm. then once you do kind of know yourself and you know everybody really well, then you can make a serious decision. And then from then on, it can be like Rachel and I were talking about, you know, you get engaged and you're married like 3 months later kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like that's so healthy, yeah. but it's not yes. portrayed. It's not popular in culture. Now mm-hmm. it's like you sleep with everybody and you yes. take years to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kind of a thing. Exactly. And it just seems like it's yeah. a thing of the past. And I think, mm-hmm. yeah, like you said, Jenny, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, like you said, like, I feel like Rachel's depiction of that was really healthy, and it does show that, like, being moral in those situations, or trying to be moral, I should say, mm-hmm. is okay, and you can be actually, mm-hmm. like, you can still make the right choice, even if you haven't slept around, like, and I'm not putting people yeah. down or anything like that, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I think it's just, it gives, especially, like, young girls something to look up mm-hmm. to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is like, hey, like, I know all these books are saying, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that when it comes to dating. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy that we have authors like Rachel and so many authors I know who are saying, hey, look, this is another example of like how dating and relationships and marriage can look, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I think we are influenced so much by the entertainment around us. Like, entertainment yes. really shapes culture. So mm-hmm. I think it's very important that, like, we reflect in our books, like, the kind of world we want to build.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very well said.
Oh, yeah. This was great. This is so good. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We were asking you about your books, then, and the books that you like, and we got on, like, another really great topic. So this has been such a great episode. Like, we covered so mm-hmm. much interesting ground here. I'm so excited. Yeah. I can't wait for the listeners to hear this one, because I feel like it's really good.
Oh yeah, this was great. I love ranting about different subjects, and I'm just so thankful you guys had me on. This was so much fun. Oh my word.
Yeah.
I feel like I got like a free like lunch with friends out of this yes. whole thing. Like, I feel like yes. that's what we yes. were doing, and we just recorded it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I hope, you know, you guys get that same experience too. Like, if you're, you know, doing laundry or like driving, like, just put us on and just feel like you're having lunch with friends, mm-hmm. just friends chatting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes. Yeah. I listen to your podcast and do laundry. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, well, thank you, Bethany, for taking time out of your super busy day. Now that thank we've learned so like all that you do with school and Bookstagram and author assistant, and you kind of hinted at you might be writing some of your own books one day. So,
yeah,
we'll have to talk more about that a different time, but yeah. we know you're busy, mm-hmm. so we really appreciate you like making time to chat with us. It has been really fun.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'm just so honored that you guys invited me to be on.
This was really fun. This was like one of my favorite interviews. Not that I haven't loved other interviews, but just because I already know you personally, it's just so easy, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, Rachel and I have had some serious, very deep conversations about a lot of stuff.
I love that. Yeah. I want to start like video chatting with people more.
Oh yeah.
Like, cause every time yeah. I do it, yes. it's just so much more fun. So I just really, I think I just need to reach out more. Like, somebody I message a lot, just be like, hey, yeah. do you want a video chat?
Yes.
You know, I just feel like it's so nice.
It's so worth it. Take it from me. Like, once I joined Bookstagram, I made so many friends, and I have friends that I video chat regularly with, because, you know, you want to connect and you live 3 states away. So yeah, it's really, mm-hmm. it's really valuable.
Yeah, I agree.
That's something I want to get better at, because I'm like, I love it when like somebody asks me to video chat, but I very rarely ever like ask someone else. I'm like, well, they're probably busy, or I don't know if they really want to video chat with me or whatever. But this is from me to all the listeners, do it, because it's really, really fun.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. That's how I've made really successful friendships too.
Yes.
And the first one, it's always kind of like awkward, but you just get through it and then it's fine. Yeah. And yeah. I always look at it like for friends, like if I'm trying a new friend and seeing if it's going to work, just look at it like a first date. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay, because there's always other options.
Yeah, I agree.
True.
Yeah, don't be afraid of the awkwardness, because without the awkwardness, the initial awkwardness, you might not like develop a meaningful friendship with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we'll let you go now, Bethany. But I mean, we could keep going. I'm sure we could go on all day. But we don't want to make this podcast too long. So we'll let you go now. And we'll just have to have you back, because we have so many things I know we could talk about. So.
Oh, thank you so much. This is so much fun, guys.
So, guys, I hope you all have a good week. We will see you back next week where, I don't know, Rachel and I need to get better about planning, but we're either going to have another fun guest, or it'll just be me and Rachel being crazy like we normally are. So we look forward to seeing you again next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next week for another episode. And if you enjoyed it, please consider leaving a review so that other people can find us, and we will see you in the future. Bye.